Good morning, everybody. We're going to continue in worship. And if I can ask Johnny, can you either play the keyboards or guitar in the background a little bit? So we'll have a little time. Good time this morning. You know what? How about it? Amen. God is good. God is very good. And it's always good to hear him speak to us through the word and understand what a great plan he has for us, because he does. He's a great God. If I can ask, is Dewey here still? He might have went out. That's fine. I want to get two volunteers to help over here while someone, maybe Dewey's wife, and yeah, go ahead. Come on up. Yeah. That's okay. Do we have a mic we could use for her? We can do this. Here you go. You might have to come on this side. That's okay. Yeah, that's fine. Oh, there you go.
Okay, thank you.
If you want, before we start, everybody come up. Let's grab the elements. Come on up. If you need them brought to you, let someone know. Thank God for this time where we can come before his presence and seek him. Such a wonderful service this morning. Just, we're not even into the word, and just from the worship and the Spirit of God moving, it's always good to be in the presence and in the house of the Lord. Amen. Good times. Everybody can hold the elements as they're being passed out. Everybody back there get them too as well? Good.
Is the new covenant in my blood. Do this do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord.
Take a moment just to have our hearts right before God. Father God, we ask that you just help us, Lord, to look to you in this moment. Help us, Lord, to seek you. And thank you for this covenant you've made with us, Lord God. We can come before you and renew our hearts and minds, Lord God, which we all need, Father God. Lord, bless this bread. Help it to be a reminder of the great sacrifice you've made. And Lord God, we ask that you would touch our hearts, break us out of our box, Father God, and help us to seek you, Father God. Let us partake of the bread. In the same way, when he took the cup, it was the new covenant. And that's what's the important thing, is that in our lives, we're constantly being renewed day by day, as the word says. Lord, thank you for that blood that was shed for us, Lord God. Help us to be a reminder to us, Lord God, of the love you have for us. That great love, as Dewey spoke about those nails, Lord God, a sacrifice. It was a great sacrifice. Help it to be a remembrance to us, Father God, of the great things you have for this church, Father God, for the new pastor, for the board members, for everyone here, Father God, for the wonderful worship, Lord God. Let it be such a blessing, Lord God. Let your spirit move in us, Father God, today. Let us partake of the blood.
Share something that the Lord was bringing to my attention that has to do with discerning the elements that we take of the Lord's Supper. We have the bread and we also have the cup, which represents His blood. But the body, that sometimes we put so much emphasis on, the remission of sins and spiritual healing. But with that body that was broken, it was broken for us so that we could be whole. And so when we're taking the bread, we need to think about what the Lord has done for us, that He has provided healing and wholeness for every part of us, every part of our lives. And, it's so important that we remember what He has done. And just was also thinking about how He has brought us all together as a body. We were all separate individuals at one time, and then we came together as the Lord's body. And, we're the bread, the body of Christ. So we come together, and it's so important that we avoid, offenses and, resentment and different things that the enemy would want to use to separate us or cause division. So that was just something the Lord was putting on my heart that I wanted to share. Thank you very much.
Excellent. Excellent word. And that's what it's about, is getting to the point in our lives where we can discern things and understand that there's more than sometimes what we see. And when God's Spirit moves, we want to be able to hear it. Now, you don't always hear it with your ears. And I'm not big on emotions, but I can feel it. Because you can't help it when God's Spirit moves. You see and hear and feel things that really aren't there except by the Spirit of God in our discernment. And as our sister was talking about, looking beyond sometimes what's in front of us and understanding as a body. It's interesting. Again, God always works these things out, because our passage this morning is going to talk about that, the idea. Matthew 7:1-5. Do not judge so that you won't be judged. For with the judgment you use, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but don't notice the log in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, and look, there's a log in your eye? Hypocrite, first take the log out of your eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's. Father God, we ask that this word would permeate us, that we would understand it and take to heart what you have to say to us this morning, Lord. Your word is life, and we ask for your wisdom, Father God. Bless it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, Jesus was using a literary form called overstatement, something everybody understood at that time. There was no, you know, wondering what it was. Oh my God, what is he talking about? A log in someone's eye? No, they knew exactly what he was, you know, what he was talking about. And even today, we deal with this. We just don't always know what it is. You know, you hear your kids, "I'm starving." We know they're not starving. They're just hungry. But they make their point. The point comes across like, "Hey, I'm hungry. I got to have some food," you know. And people understood this, the idea, especially the people that were around Jesus. They had a heart for God. You know, a lot of times what happened was with the Pharisees and teachers of the law, they didn't understand that. And part of it was because they were so rigid in believing in the laws that they basically put the laws in front of God. They took God's laws and made them a god, which is not the reason why the laws were there, you know. And it's very important to know this, because in our lives, this is really not a rebuke as much as an understanding that we have to, if we sang the song today, you know, to ask God to see what he has for us, not just what we want, but Lord, help me to see those things that I need to see, that we all need to see. Because it's very easy to think, oh, well, that's for brother so-and-so over here. I know he says this. And no, it's for us, to help us to have a better attitude. Because when we start judging others in that way, we lose the meaning of the scriptures and the spirit of why Christ came. You know, even those who aren't in the church, we have to understand we are the light of the world because of Jesus. We're a reflection of that light, but we are the ones that represent Christ. A lot of times we forget that. Oh, you know, it's someone else's job. No, it's our job. It's our job to understand that we have the Spirit of God in us. And when he moves, it's because he's moving through us. You know, just as our sister spoke this morning, I could tell from her heart she just loves God so much. And that's what it's about. It's not about the words. It's not about, you know, the way you do things. It's your heart coming to God with an openness and understanding that there's more. The people who serve out there, the people who come and put the communion together, those who are running sound, those who are playing on the stage, those who are doing things in the background nobody sees with the kids. You know, the job maybe nobody wants. You know, I don't want to do that. I want to be in service, or I want to do that. Well, we have to have somebody do it. And it's an understanding that by, you know, God's Spirit, it's very important. Now, overstatement was used to emphasize the importance of this message or this passage. But is it really worth fighting for? Fighting over? You know, what happens is one of the things, people have opinions, and that's great. We should have opinions, and we should think about what we believe. But when we make our opinions bigger than what God wants, you know, even when we're right, in the wrong spirit, it comes across in the wrong way, and it pushes people away. It's very, very easy to have this happen, you know, to see things, well, I know what's right. You know, don't tell me about that. I've been doing this. No. You know what? Many people over the years have made mistakes in thinking they know everything. But as God's people, we want to be open. And that's why he talks about getting the log out of our eye, to help us to see things in a way that Christ wants us to see, which is hard at times. I was talking to Johnny earlier, and part of it was about really, each day, discipline. Having the discipline to seek God, to read his word, to pray. Why should we pray? because if you read prayer requests, hopefully you guys have a prayer chain or people sending out emails and things like that. You'll be amazed at, like, wow, I think I'm having a horrible day today. Oh, you wouldn't believe, you know, I had to wait in line 30 minutes. And then your sister's kid is just diagnosed with something that, you know, is really bad. It changes your perspective when you pray and you see things in a different light. And that's what we need. We need a different perspective. We need to break out of our box because we have to have that. Proverbs 19:11, a person's insight gives him patience and his virtue is to overlook an offense. Virtue is a behavior showing high moral standards. Jesus had much to say about resolving conflict. One of the most familiar verses speaks about taking a log out of your own eye. Jesus wants us to face up to our own faults. He wants us to face up to our own faults before we start telling others about their faults. That's the other thing, is thinking, it's my job to show you what you're doing wrong. It's not my job. My job is not to show my wife what she's doing wrong, you know, or my daughter. The Holy Spirit, through God, through Christ, is more than enough to be able to speak to people. And see, that's the key. A lot of times we try to do things sometimes on our own, through our own energy, through our own ways. But as I was speaking to Johnny about this morning, that discipline and understanding helps you to get this perspective that it's God's will, not our will. And just as this morning we're having communion, it's a time again to renew our hearts and minds, to say, we want what you want, God. We want our lives changed. And we need that. You know, I hear the story of a man, and he says, hey, another guy came up, you ever tell your wife you love her? Yeah, I told her 20 years ago I loved her. Yeah. It should be all the time, you know. One thing I know from my wife is she's a loving mother and a loving wife and someone who really cares about people. Her kids, she's a teacher, and she loves those kids. She walks in a house, and the first thing she does, oh, I can't, let me tell you what happened. Now, the worst thing I've learned, and I've learned enough, don't say, oh, I don't want to hear about that. First thing is saying, well, what's going on? She just wants to get it out. And she wants to talk about it because it's important to her. And it takes practice to do those things. I used to pick up my wife every day from work, where she took the train over there on Route 59 at the station. And what I learned, God taught me, not because I'm smart, because I'm not, but He taught me, just let her speak. And all I had to do was say, how was your day? Let me tell you. And she'd go. And not to fix her, because that's what guys want to do, right? Right, ladies? We are, us as men, oh, the switch is broken. I can do that. Yeah, that's great. But your wives, your kids are not a switch to be fixed. You know, you can help them and guide them, but really it's an understanding that we need to look to Christ. And that's why communion is so important, to change our hearts. And even during the worship this morning, you know, worship is a time where we expose ourselves in our hearts and in our spirits. And we need that so bad. It's so easy. And I work with men a lot. And hey, how you doing? I'm good. No, how are you? But see, we have to build that relationship and let them know. Something we had Wednesday that really helped us out a lot is that I made it real so that they opened up. Now, it wasn't even about what I said or the lesson. Guys were talking. Guys were sitting there expressing themselves. You know why? Because they need to do that. Because guys don't normally do that, right? Guys, I'm good. No. We need to hear what is on your heart. Because sometimes that confession speaking about things helps to renew our minds. It helps us to see that there's more to life than just, you know, holding back. That was one of the things that happened to me as a young man. We grew up in a city, and it was very rough, and my brother, basically, I cried about something. I was little, and he grabbed me and said, "Don't cry. That's not the way to do it." Now, I didn't have a dad, so I took it to heart. I didn't cry for many years, and I got in fights, and nobody would make me cry. I don't care what happened. I never cried. But see, that was a hard heart. It wasn't a good thing. Some guys say, "Oh, that's good. That's good to be tough." No. Those are the things that keep you away from God's Spirit. And that's why sometimes we have to check and see if there's that little log in our eye to pull it out to give us a better understanding, because we need that. We really need that bad. And as we examine our role in conflict, it is helpful to look for two types of fault. First, we may have an overly sensitive attitude, which causes us to be offended too easily by others' behavior. Secondly, we may have contributed to the conflict through our own sinful behavior. Jesus wants us to face up to our own faults before we start telling others about their faults. This is something very dear to me, because it's more important to do the right thing sometimes than to be right. Anybody ever have that? Sometimes God will say, "You just need to be quiet." And this other person is chewing me out and making me feel about 2 inches high. But you know what? It's very easy to say, "Well, I have my rights." No. Our rights are based on God's word. And sometimes, look what Jesus did. "Father, forgive them." When he was on the cross being crucified, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." They didn't. They didn't understand what they were doing to Christ, that they were actually crucifying God. It was a horrible thing. But we have to have the right attitude, and that only comes through the union with Christ and understanding that it's not our will. Not our will. Let your will be done. Not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. We don't want ourselves to get in the midst of it, to be the one, "Well, this is what I've learned." Just right there with that little attitude, you've lost. You know, it's very easy. Now, we think, again, a lot of times, "Oh, well, I have my rights." You know, and sometimes you have to do things in your own way, but we have to be sensitive to God's Spirit, because it's very easy to have the wrong attitude. And really, what it's about is glorifying God. It's not about us. It's very easy to think it's all about us. It is about bringing glory to God. We want people to come to know the Lord. We want people to be healed. We want this church to grow. Why? Not because we could say that, but because that's what God wants. God wants to do great and mighty things. And it's very, very important to know that. It's very easy to have the wrong attitude. In our conflicts with others, it is our job to always glorify God. It's not about us, and that's what I talked about. As we understand our role in a conflict, it is helpful to clearly define the issues that separate us from others. Our perception in a conflict can be wrong unless we understand that it is our job to glorify God. In our conflicts with others, it is our job to always glorify God. It is not about us. It's so easy to see life as through my lens or your lens. But it's a better way to say, "God, what do you want us to see?" You know, when I listened to the worship this morning, all I sense is God's presence. You know? Because that's what I'm trying to do, is get my heart right. And God comes through. You know, it's an idea of having the right attitude and the right mind, the right heart. It's very easy to have the wrong attitude. It's very easy to think that we know it all, and we don't. It is, and that's the idea of coming before God, bearing your heart. With that in mind, you're going to have a better marriage, You're going to have better kids. You're going to have a better attitude. You know, and people will want to hear from you. You know, instead of turning people away because we know it all, even as Christians. You know, what did Christ do? You know, do you know who you're dining with these tax collectors and sinners? He knew exactly what he was doing. He went to those, I'm going to those who need a doctor, not to those who don't. You know, and that's the hard thing in our lives. We want to just do what's comfortable for us, and we can't do that. We cannot do that. We need to change our hearts and our minds to get that log out of our eye. Overlook minor offenses. What is a minor offense? Everything is, with the right perspective. In many situations, the best way to resolve a conflict is simply to overlook the personal offenses or differences of thinking of others. The approach is highly commended throughout Scripture. It's so easy, again, to judge. And we need to at times, you know. If your kids are hanging out with someone who's maybe not teaching them the right way, you might even say, I'm sorry, that's not happening. There's nothing wrong with that. But to have the wrong attitude towards someone just because we think we're better than them, or we know better, even as a Christian, you know what, someone needs to bring them to Christ. You know, I don't know how it'll work, but I know it won't work when we're, you know, just mean to people because we know better. We as Christians know, I know what I'm doing. Listen to me. This is the word of the Lord. You know, it's very easy to think like that. And the hardest thing is to have the right attitude because it's up to us. We are the salt. Salt brings flavor. And it also preserves. We need to preserve our relationship with people, those who are outside the body. One of the worst things I did as a young Christian, not knowing, because sometimes we get into the acts of Christianese or Christianity, and some of my friends, and I mean, these are guys I had partied with for years and just did a lot of stuff I shouldn't have. And one of the guys says, you know, hey, I heard you're going to church. You know, I was just walking by. He said, why are you doing that? And without thinking, because this is what you hear, because I don't want to go to hell. My friend said it in a nutshell. He says, well, I guess I'm going to hell. Thanks. And I knew, no one had to tell me. I was a brand new Christian. That was not the right way to deal with that. That was not the right attitude. You know, that was one of my big lessons. You know, I said the right thing, but in the wrong way. Because that's what you hear from the pulpit. And you think, oh, I got to be like brother, my pastor. And, yeah, I'm not going out. Well, there's a better way to say it. You know, hey guys, you know, talking to my friends again, I wish I could have said it better and saying, I just realized in my life I need something more. I found that everything that I was doing for so many years just left me empty. But now that Christ has come into my heart, I see that life is much more different. And just leave it there. Let God's Spirit move. Don't have to explain everything. Don't even have to ask them if they want to come to know the Lord. My friends would know if I would have said it like that. You know what? It is empty. You know, one of my best friends, you know, died an alcoholic because that was his crutch. He never got away from that. Even as a young man, he just kept on and never learned, had kids, had a wife, but he just didn't understand that there was more to life. And because of that, he just drank himself to death at a young age, I think mid-30s. You know, that's a shame. And I didn't know about it till the last year or so. One of my friends on Facebook found out she's a Christian, and I just asked about our friend, and she goes, oh, he died. He had drunk himself to death. And the thing is, we are the hope. When we show the hope of Christ, we are the light when we show that Jesus is the light. The Spirit moves when we move in unison. You know, there's a way to do things that man wants to do, but it's not right, and it leads to the wrong path. But we can have the right attitude, and we should. We should be the salt where people are listening to us and saying, man, that sounds great. You know, your message, your whole attitude, not even speaking about the gospel, but them seeing the light in you, they should say, I want that. You seem to have peace in your life. I don't have peace. Now, if we're, truthful, sometimes we don't feel like we have peace. But we do, really. Our focus needs to be on Christ. And as Johnny and I spoke about this morning, the idea that the enemy will come and say, you're not good enough. Well, really? I already knew that. But thank God, he has overcome. That it's not by might, not by power, not by wisdom, not by how many verses I could throw out there, but by God's Spirit. Understanding that there's more to life than what we see and what we feel. And we all have issues in our lives, but we move forward and we seek God. And the great thing is, God is, his mercies are renewed every morning. Each day, God has a new thing for us. We just forget, and we forget, oh, it's just another day today. Oh, Sunday, I don't need to go. I listened to something last night. You need to be in church, in this church, if you're a part of it. First of all, we need you. Others need you. We need to hear the testimonies. You know, we need to have sometimes a testimony time in the church where, hey, you know, we don't always know what's going on. We pray for somebody. Well, they did get healed. We just don't know. You know, we need to have those times where we can be able to do that, because that's part of being in the church, of understanding what our role is as a Christian. And it's very easy to let the enemy walk all over us, because we are in a spiritual battle. That's the hard thing. We're in a spiritual battle, but a lot of times we just don't treat it that way. That's why we pray. The disciplines. We pray. We seek God. We read his word. We study. We do those things that draw us closer to God so that we can find his vision for our lives. Usually, if you feel God is having you to do something and it's so easy that you don't even have to try, it's probably not God. Not because it's a bad thing, but God usually asks you to do something that's beyond yourself. Why? Because he wants you to seek him. He wants you to look to him for strength. How can I do this? Well, that's the key, is you can't. But God can. Just as you guys are speaking about your new pastor, why did you pray about it? Because you wanted that. You had a vision of that. You want this church to go on, to move on. You want great things to happen here. That's what we want. We're a body, all of us, whether it's this church or really we're all one church. There is no separate churches. We forget that sometimes. Oh, this is this church in Elburn. No, this is part of the church of Jesus Christ. It's all one body. When this body does well, we should all rejoice. You know, I think I was talking to Chris last week, the idea that we forget. He talked about going on a mission trip, it sounded like, where there was no, you know, there's like nothing. They have literally nothing in these other countries. You know, oh, where's the mic? There is no mic. There is no PA. You know, there's no restroom. We take a lot for granted. You know, and sometimes we forget, again, perspective. That's why sometimes we've got to get that log out of our eye to help to understand that. Mark 9:38-40. John said to Jesus, Teacher, we saw someone using your name to cast out demons, but we told him to stop because he wasn't in our group. Don't stop him, Jesus said. No one who performs a miracle in my name will soon be able to speak evil of me. Anyone who is not against us is for us. It's not a contest. We are not in a contest against each other. We're the body of Christ. The way the body of Christ works is we work together. We help each other. That's why when you come together and you are in church, hey, how's your day? Man, it's tough. The kids are sick. Let's pray, you know. Let's pray right now. Don't wait. I'll say, I'll pray for you later. Grab their hands. Pray for them right there. Don't wait. It's very easy, and you might forget. My old pastor used to say he did that. He'd feel bad. Somebody would say, oh, pray for me. He said, I sure will. And then they come the next day. Oh, you should have been, you must have been praying for me. Because everything worked out, and he just didn't say anything. He thought, wow, I never prayed. I forgot. So what he did, let's pray right now. Don't wait. It's very easy to think like that. Oh, because we forget things. I'll forget something from going from the couch to the refrigerator. What am I going here for? Oh, okay, yeah, now I remember. That's why we need to pray right away. We need to know that we know that we know. Proverbs 17:14. To start a conflict is to release a flood. Stop the dispute before it breaks out, accepting one another in love. That's the key, is not even starting something. Why would we want to start something against our brother and sister? Or against our husband or our wife, or against our pastor, or an evangelist, whoever it might be, our co-workers. You know, why would we want to start something? You know, oh, I'll show them. Well, right there. Yeah, you will show them. But it won't be the love of Christ. So easy to think the wrong way. I'm guilty. I'm not, you know, I'm not preaching just to you. I'm guilty right here. I say the wrong thing sometimes. But you know the thing that helps me the most now? Be slow to speak. Take your time. Think about what you're saying. Ooh, I'll show. Oh, man, that their kids are running around. Let me teach them. Oh. In the wrong attitude, you're not teaching anybody anything. And it's so easy to think that way. All of us get to that point. When I was very young in the Lord, a friend of mine had his kids, and they were just going crazy. And I remember thinking, he should just beat them. Because I didn't have kids. It's easy when you don't have kids to say something. And I didn't say it to him. I just in my mind said, man, why don't you just take that kid and beat him? Well, I didn't know anything. I'm a young, unwed man who had no idea what kids were about. It's so easy to have the wrong attitude. But see, that's why we have to learn. And we learn from others, too. There's a lot of people here that are mature. And we should ask them. You know, if we're not sure, hey, what did you do? You've been married so many years. My husband and I are having some issues. Can you just talk to me? You know, someone who's dear to your heart, who you can trust with. You know, add those people to your lives. You know, find those people. Find those people who you can turn to, where you can know you can say anything to. But the thing is, we don't want to be on the other side where we're starting issues. Because that's not God's will. That is not God's will. 1 Corinthians 13:2. If I had the gift of prophecy, and if I understood all of God's secret plans and possessed all knowledge, and if I had such faith that I could move mountains but didn't love others, I would be nothing. Is it easy to overlook an offense? Anybody? Is it easy? No. I see some heads saying no. It's not. There's times in my heart I have to fight over stuff that happened when I was a kid. Maybe things that bothered me. But you know where that comes from? The enemy. Trying to say, remember those things, because those are the things that will get you off your path. You know, you forget when you hold on to those offenses, it brings that hard heart, that searing. That's what happens to a heart that's seared. You know, you take meat, you sear it, and what happens is it keeps those juices in the meat. You know, it's a good thing for meat, but not for hearts. You know, we want those juices in a nice steak, but what happens is when we sear our hearts, someone tries to reach us and, oh, it's tough. I can't get through. And every time I talk to them, they're just rude to me. You know, that's not what we want. We want love in our lives. We want to understand that, is it easy to overlook an offense? Absolutely not, unless we're looking with Christ's eyes, having that understanding. You know, even when we pray together, it's opening up our hearts. This morning we had communion. We're going to pray in a little while. And you guys are going to talk together before you leave. That's part of it, is having an understanding that we can do things together. We can't do it on our own. But especially if you're not overlooking an offense. And earlier I spoke about the idea that everything is a minor offense if we have the right attitude. You know, I think I mentioned within the last week that, and if I didn't, I'm going to say it now, but somebody was very rude to me. Very, very rude to me, to the point where I could have actually probably gone to HR. And someone else said that I should, and I said, no, I can let it go. And my friend was mad at me, like, come on, man, stand up for yourself. Well, it's not standing up for myself if I hurt this person. You know what I mean? Now, there are times you might have to make a stand in certain things, and there's nothing wrong with that, because you're not a mat to be walked on, just to be destroyed. But there's times where you have to let it go. And you know what my thought on this was, is the idea that this man has two little children. And that's what I saw when I looked at him. Not his offense, but these two kids that when he comes home, Daddy, that makes the difference. And plus, I don't have time to be fighting with people. If I want God's will in my life, I'm not going to find it by fighting with others. You know, looking for issues in people's life. So is it easy to overlook an offense? Sometimes it's not. And then sometimes it is when we give it over to the Lord. We can't do it on our own. That's the key. It's very easy to think that what can we do? Well, that's the problem. When we do things, it's not always right. But when we seek God and understand and go to the counsel of those who have taken courses and classes that understand a little bit more, we need to know about doctrine. I was telling him, Johnny, I was watching a show on that was, and I'm not going to tell you who it was, but the doctrine was off. Very bad. Very bad. You know? Finding God's favor because you give a certain amount for so many time. Man, God is not like that. That is not doctrinal. But it sounds good, and I've been duped by that stuff at times. Now, there's a time where God moves in that way, and he will help you. But you don't have to buy God's favor. God's favor is there for you. It's in his love and his understanding. As we had communion. That's why we take communion. Communion is like a covenant renewal, taking us back to that place where we understand it's not about us. It's about you, Lord. God, help me to have a right heart. Help me to turn my ways over to you. Because, again, when we get in the way, it's not always very good. It's usually not any good, to be honest. That's just me, though. You guys might have it down. Philippians 2, 3, and 4. Do nothing out of rivalry or conceit. Excellent word. Do nothing out of rivalry or conceit, but in humility consider others as more important than yourselves. Everyone should look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. When we overlook the wrongs of others, we are imitating God's extraordinary forgiveness towards us. That's the thing we forget sometimes. Unless we have that grace to give, we don't understand the grace that he gives us. And it's the same way when we don't understand the grace that he gives us, we can't give that grace back. Well, I wish their car would just stop. They're so mean and they're the way they're driving. Well, if we were open to judgment, I'm sure all of us could have a lot of things God could judge us about. You know, the wrong attitudes, the wrong thoughts, the wrong ideas at times. When people are driving, I see them. I drive every day, and you see someone coming. You're driving. Actually, I always drive above the speed limit a bit, and people are just bearing down, and you're like, oh, God, what are you doing? But you know what? I just look the other way. I don't go faster, I don't go slower to show them. I'll show them, I'll slow down. No, that doesn't help either. just keep on going. Don't worry about them. You know what? Because that's the way we blow our witness. And we should be thinking of others above ourselves. It's very easy to have the attitude that we're better than others. And see, that's what Christ came to show us. You know, actually, if you read this, if you got time, go into Philippians 2, you'll read more about it. It's the attitude of Christ. Do nothing out of rivalry or conceit, but in humility, consider others as more important than yourselves. That's very tough at times, but it can be done. It's like anything, as Johnny and I were talking this morning, discipline. You know, if I don't have anything good to say, maybe I shouldn't say anything. You know, it's not always about me. Usually it's not about me. What happens is when I can get Roger out of the way, God can shine through. He could say those things that make a difference. Wednesday we had a wonderful class for the men. It was wonderful, not because of what I said or what I was teaching, but because we were talking. And the conversation was wonderful because we're all under the same heading and thought that Christ needs to be king in our lives. You know, it talks about kingdom men and kingdom women, people who are putting the kingdom ahead of our own thoughts and our own attitudes, because that's the only way we could do it. You know, that's the only way we could do it. Psalm 103, 8 through 10, the Lord is compassionate and merciful, slow to get angry, and filled with unfailing love. That's why we have to have a better attitude, because that's his attitude towards us. How could we not want that? He will not constantly accuse us, nor remain angry forever. He does not punish us for all our sins. Thank God for that. Thank God for that. He does not deal harshly with us as we deserve. That's why we need to change our attitudes. And again, going back to it, is this really worth fighting for or fighting over? No. All offenses are minor offenses. It's very easy, again, to think that, you know, we know better. But if we can have that attitude of Christ, we can make a change in our lives, in our community, and those around us. People need our influence. They need to know that there's a different way. They need to see that there's a different way, especially nowadays with the way things are. People need to see Christ, you know. They need to understand that there's such a greater way. And that only comes by God's Spirit, not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. It doesn't come because we think we're right. It comes because we realize God is merciful. He loves us so much and has such a loving attitude. Just like if you have kids or grandkids or nephews or nieces, you know, yeah, sometimes, man, that kid's rough. But I love him. I love her, you know, and that's what it's about. I sometimes speak to men and man, I've done things that I know I can never turn back to God. No, you haven't. And just you saying that shows the attitude that you're ready to come back to Him. Guys need to hear that. One of the guys at one of the tables that I walked around to, that they were talking, when we talked about living up to God, I could see he was fearful. And he goes, what did you mean? I said, look, God meets you where you're at. Now, another brother started speaking out the word, and it was great, but I could see the fear in this guy's eyes, Robert. He didn't need to hear theology. He needed to hear it was okay, that what he does is fine. Because, see, that's the enemy speaking to him. You know, Robert, you're no good. You don't do enough. Well, is it a contest? No. You know, do we want to do better? Absolutely. But I did tell him, just like your kids, I asked him, do you have kids? He said, yeah. I said, you want the best for your kids, don't you? He said, yeah, I do. I said, well, do you let them get by if they're bringing in C's and D's? He says, no. And he suddenly the light went on. No, I don't. I said, that's what God is trying to do. He's just trying to help us. But he's not condemning us. Even if the kid doesn't get D's or maybe an F. I know I messed up a lot in school because of doing wrong. It's not because I wasn't smart. It was because I was living a wrong life with the wrong attitude. Everything was about me. What I could do for myself, how much money I could make. And because of that, my life stunk. I knew it. No one had to tell me, you know. Everybody says, oh, you got all this and that, and, you know, I had a beautiful girlfriend. And it didn't satisfy. It meant nothing. You know, I was in really good shape. It didn't matter. It didn't, you know, you think you get those things that, oh, that'll make me feel better if I get this or if I do that. It's not about that. It's about serving Christ. But part of it is getting that log out of your eye, understanding that we do have to develop that in our hearts. And it takes insight and discipline. And that's why we talk about these things sometimes. We need to see that. Sometimes we do let that log get in our eye. You know? Overlook minor offenses. And what is a minor offense? Anybody? What's a minor offense? Everything. Everything's a minor offense. But she said something about me. Well, don't worry about it. Let it go. If you know who you are through Christ, that's what matters. That's when our sister this morning, when she helped with communion, I thank God for her heart. She has the right attitude. And everyone here does. With the worship band, man, the way the Spirit of God moves, you guys should be very proud that you're bringing us into His presence and that we can, you know, see that and feel it. And it's not because we're moved by emotions, but it's the idea that we're moved by God's Spirit. That's what I feel. I don't feel it because, wow, you know, this or that. It's God's Spirit is moving, and I need that. I need that heart that gets, you know, seared to be pliable for Him to say, stop that. Don't say that. But it does take discipline, and we can do it. Sue, can you play a little bit? We're going to take a little time to pray this morning. Dewey, you want to come on up? We want to take time to bring things to God. And anything that's on your heart, feel free to pray about it. And feel free to come up. We want God's Spirit to move. Where two or three are gathered there in the midst, there is Christ. We can believe together. Let's close our eyes and bow our heads for a moment. If anyone this morning doesn't know Christ and you need to know Him, or you're not sure, please see me. Please come up and talk to me about that. Take that time this morning. If you're not sure about that step, if you've never made that step, or just take that time. And if you need to, raise your hand right now if you need that salvation from Christ. Thank you, Lord. Now as we move forward, let's have some time of prayer. If you need prayer for anything, we would love to pray for you. We would love to seek God on your behalf as brothers and sisters in the Lord. Come on up.